Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You could stand me up at the gates of hell, and I won't back down. I'm gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
Welcome into the studios of ESP Media. I'm Rob Ebel with the head coach of the Moeller Soccer Program, Mike Welker. Coach, how are we doing today?
Wonderful.
Wow, things are going well. We'll hit the rewind button. The Crusaders traveled over to St. Xavier on Tuesday for a monumental match against the Bombers. And I think I looked down at my phone at some point during the day, and it said, biggest game in Moeller soccer history. And I was like, yeah, I think I did.
It was a big game. I don't want to oversell the hype train of it, but I believe it was the first time Moeller has beaten St. Xavier twice in a season, at least regular season. I'm sure there was maybe an instance where they played in the postseason, but
hype's okay, man. I mean, whenever those two schools play in anything,
yeah,
there's lots of hype, and it's all good because it's a great match, it's a great game, whatever it is, it's a lot of fun. Everybody gets their A game, and Crusaders were victorious 2-1, and it was. Listen back to the call because I was doing a football show. I had a bud in listening, and it was a tense match, Coach.
Yeah, I get, like, truly that highlight that you guys put together. I get goosebumps. I mean, it was just – it's cool. It's really cool that it's two of my best friends calling it. You know, obviously Greg's been killing it too. But, you know, with Danny and Matt, it's cool. It was a cool experience to hear that. The game itself was awesome. Before the game, we talked about we've played St. Xavier now in soccer. I believe it's 45 years.
Okay.
So we've played in 45 years. We've beaten St. Xavier 17 times. So and we've played, you know, I don't know, call it 60 whatever.
Sure.
You know, 60 whatever times. So it was crazy. I mean, for us to win, you know, two times in the same year, it just meant a lot to us. It meant a lot to the alums. It meant a lot to the players. You know, we played hard. They scored a nice goal. We went into half down 1-0 again. You know, the halftime speech was, we want to score two goals every game. Like, that's our mentality.
Sure.
We have to get 2+ goals every single game. Came out, I think we scored in the first, like, 30 seconds of the second half.
To tie it.
Yeah, so that tied it up. And that got our kind of confidence back a little bit. And, you know, just a really unfortunate play for St. Xavier towards the end of the game, but one that we scouted and one that we talked about and game planned for. Tyler Grinstead did his job and put in the back of the net. So, you know, it was an awesome moment for him. It was an awesome moment for us as a team. We did our job, and, you know,
I have to tell you, I walked out of the match Saturday with his mom.
Yeah.
And she almost had tears in her eyes thanking us for that highlight because she apparently couldn't be there or something.
Yeah.
And she was able to relive it through that highlight with the audio put in there. And she was just so thankful and couldn't have been nicer. So yeah. I just thought I'd interject that.
They're good families. She was at a sales conference or something. It's just cool that I'm so thankful and happy that when you and I spoke in the preseason, we didn't know if we could do announcing. We didn't know what we would
sure.
have. And, you know, with the help of Mr. Rodrigo and others, yeah, it's cool that we were able to move forward with this and continue to, you know, push us into the first class direction. You know, what was interesting to me in that St. Xavier game, our JV team didn't play well before the game. So, you know, that always
kind of sets the tone one way or the other.
Yeah. Like in the past, you know, when we played Mason, we were terrified. You know, we didn't know who we were yet. And we still don't know who we are.
Sure.
We still have a hard time starting and everything. But these guys, I keep saying, they didn't look at what the result of the JV game and go in saying we have no chance. They didn't crumble once we gave up a goal. They were all super supportive. Cal Collins is a rock back there. You know, he's a sophomore leader. You know, all three of those guys right there, Grogan, Rod, and Damon too. You know, they're just positive. Connor got injured in the first 2 minutes. You know, Connor mm-hmm. is. He's our link between our defense and our offense. He goes down first 2 minutes. They score a goal, you know, 15 minutes in. I'm scrambling.
Guys got to step up.
They just stepped up. They don't, you know, they're like a good surgeon. You know, what's that movie with Leo DiCaprio? Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
Where he talks about how his hand always stays, you know, calm. Like that's
a great movie,
that
by
just,
the way.
I love that movie. That just feels like to me this senior class and really, you know, our leaders on the team, they don't lose their cool. You know, I'm losing my cool. I'm screaming. I'm
Mr.
yelling.
Avignale.
I'm running. Yeah, Avignale. Yeah, I'm running up and down the sidelines. They keep their cool and they keep me calm. You know, we battled through an injury. We had three different guys, I think, that we put in at that center defensive mid position once Connor went hurt. They just all did their job. So it was a good game. It was a fun game. St. X is awesome. You know, they should be the number three team in the city. I voted them number three this week. Like, they're really, really, really good. You know, I think,
and they have a lot of depth, you know, and going back and watching and listening, they've got a lot of depth. They're well coached and yeah. They're going to go a long way in the tournament.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, they're a really good team. Brian's a really good coach. I think the GCL is a lot stronger than a lot of people are giving us credit for. I mean, tomorrow night, and I know we'll talk about this in a second, but LaSalle's really good. Elder's really good. Elder lost to Lakota West on Saturday 2-1. Like they're a legitimate, you know, threat. I think all four of us,
it's exciting,
are good teams. So,
you know, you're getting I looked out on Saturday, nice crowd again. You know, the soccer, I don't know if it's FC Cincinnati related, but the crowds at soccer matches that we've covered for all the different schools this fall are much more attended than I can ever remember. So
yeah.
it's kind of neat for the kids, for the programs that fans are coming out and enjoying soccer.
You know what I think? This is maybe not right. I think the kids love playing FIFA so much that they go watch soccer. Like, because
that's
like,
great.
Like, you know, Call of Duty was always fun. Everyone's right. Playing that. But now, like, everyone used to play Madden. Now I feel like everyone, if you're a football player, baseball player, whatever, it doesn't even matter if you like soccer or not, I feel like everyone's playing FIFA. So everyone feels like they know soccer a little bit. So I think that's getting a lot more of the fans out there.
Pretty exciting. So victory on Tuesday, 2-1 versus the Bombers. The Crusaders went to 9-1-2 on the campaign. And then Saturday at Moeller, 3 p.m., where the Loveland Tigers came through the neighborhood, and it was senior day. Mm-hmm. Were you pleased with, Coach, the senior day events and how everything came about?
Mrs. Howell, ran our senior day or our senior week activities, and she did an awesome job.
Perfect.
She had help. I don't want to, well, I'll just say, I think Mrs. Heggie helped. I think Mrs. Ryan helped. Mrs. Ittenbach. There were others, I'm sure.
So thank you to all that assisted.
Whoever helped, you know, I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Beautiful day.
Yep. It
was a little coastal breeze.
Yeah. So what, I mean, the whole week they did, they had, you know, food for the boys every morning. Thursday night, we do a really, really, really cool prayer service with everybody. All the seniors get to thank their parents in the chapel with the varsity program. They get to thank all their parents for just being there for them.
Sure.
You know, not their Moeller career, but
the support.
Yeah. And it's really cool and it's touching. You know, there were some really good speeches that the guys made. It's just all part of that becoming, you know, part of the Moeller family. Friday, then we had dinner catered. It was.
Was there chicken?
It was piatta.
Oh,
nice. I think, I don't know. I had spaghetti.
What was the mom that had the great chicken at the beginning of
Mrs.
the year?
Mrs. Cusmano.
Yes.
Yeah. I need to hit her back up. We need another chicken dinner. I need to talk to her about that. But piattas, so we had piatta. That was really good. You know, all the guys got to hang out together again. And then Saturday, they decorated the locker room. I thought the field looked really nice. I made a joke to Mike that we should always have mums there. You know, those mums looked very nice.
Looked very nice.
The balloons and everything, the signs. It was just, again, like a first-class day. You know, Greg killed it on the mic for the
Ray Lewis references.
Yeah,
there were some good ones. It made me chuckle.
Yeah, Peters. I don't know about Peters. The
his role model. It was the best. Yeah. I almost fell out of my chair when I heard that.
But it was fun. You know, we had some really good photos that came out from there. And you know, all of them started. They deserve to start. I started Jake Reniker. So for those that didn't understand why, so Jake has not missed a game. He started every game for us dating back to his freshman year. So he's now started, I don't know, 27 straight games. You know, that's a major accomplishment. So this was probably cheap on my part, but I started Jake, pull Jake out about 30 seconds in, put Parker in for him just to make sure that Jake gets to keep
his
streak
going.
But, you know, I think the world of Jake, and he went back in the game and played probably, you know, 20,
and I'm sure he completely understood what was going on.
Yeah, he's cool. He just smiles and giggles and walks away. But,
that's great.
So all the seniors started. They played really well. Rod got a goal, which was nice to see. Our second goal, I guess that was Parker to Heggie.
Because you don't see defensemen score very often.
No. And Rod and Thomas Damon, they're both dangerous on our corners. So, you know, that's good to see. And then my guy Tanner got the PK. So
yes,
we do PK contests. And every time I pick Tanner, like, I think Tanner is by far our best PK shooter, I think, in our program.
And he went right. He went the upper right corner of the goal.
Yeah, like, that's not like he bangs it home. Like, he's really, really, really good at PKs. So it was good for him to be on the field when that happened. And, you know, I'll say a quick story. You know, I looked at Will, and I told him to take it. And I was like, Will, go take the PK. And Will was actually the one that said Tanner needs to take it. So that kind of shows. And even Peters. Peters was the one that got fouled, and, you know, he was looking around to give someone else the shot too. So, and that just kind of shows the leadership of those two captains of, you know, yes, that should be, you know, a gimme. I think you score like 90% of your PKs, and they both wanted Tanner to take it. So I just
that's
think
cool.
That's really cool.
It though. Just shows, you know, everything you've been talking about all year about how this senior class gets it. It's all about the team. It's not about me. It's you know, that's just, it's wonderful. So Crusaders victorious 3-0 to go on to the campaign 10-1-2. It was a very physical Saturday non-league match.
Yeah.
They didn't back down. Now, you know, you got three goals in. It was chippy there in that second half.
Yeah, Loveland's scary. They're good. Like, that would not be a team I'd want to play in the postseason. They have a really good player. His name's Ian Fields. He's number 10. You know, very talented, very good with the ball. They're good. I mean, they're a team that are extremely athletic. They can beat you in different ways, defensively or offensively. I think they had a couple really good opportunities that if they would have, put in, the game would have been a lot more interesting, I think, towards the end. They had one really good opportunity right inside the six that just barely went wide, and then had another really good opportunity in the box in the second half. They're really dangerous on their set pieces. They got a long throw. They're a team that if you draw them in the tournament, you start to get a little queasy knowing that they're a team that can hang with you defensively and score quickly on you offensively. So they're good. I think that they'll win a couple games in the tournament and maybe go pretty far.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, why don't we take a break, Coach, and talk about the week ahead for the Crusaders. This is the Moeller Soccer Podcast. I believe it's number 8. You're with Rob Ebel of ESP Media and Mike Welker, Moeller Soccer Head Coach. We'll be right back after this message. Some investors have time to manage their own portfolios, others don't. That's why Raymond James & Associates offers several types of professionally managed programs designed to meet your needs. Call financial advisor David Rodrigo today at 513-786-7842. That's 513-786-7842. He is located in Blue Ash, Ohio to discuss professional asset management. Raymond James Associates, member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC. Life well planned.
The newest urban sports bar is in Covington, Kentucky, just a block and a bridge from the banks in the historic Roebling Point District. Smoke Justice is a one-of-a-kind sports bar. Named after the opening day pitcher for the Covington Blue Sox in 1913, Smoke Justice offers smoked meats, specialty whiskey, a great craft beer selection, live music on the weekends, an adult arcade, and all the sports you can handle. Join us beginning November 1st for a week of celebration in Covington. That's Smoke Justice, 302 Court Street.
Welcome back to the studios of ESP Media, just north of downtown Cincinnati. I'm Rob Ebel with ESP Media. I'm here with the head coach of the Moeller Crusaders, Mike Welker. Coach, we just found out that we are broadcasting. We've been approved to broadcast Tuesday at LaSalle, and we're excited. That didn't happen last year, so we're excited. The crew's ready. We did a walkthrough of the site on Friday, and we're ready to hopefully broadcast a GCL championship clinched match by the Crusaders.
At Colping. Yeah, Colping. Grass field,
not necessarily flat.
Refreshments for the parents that they're able to.
Yes, if they stay in that area, yes. There is adult refreshments that are served. I've heard they were very cold, so that is a good thing.
That makes the atmosphere a little a little bit more charged up at these games. So.
It definitely could be. So 7 o'clock, the Crusaders varsity host or travel to Colping to face the LaSalle Lancers, and you guys tied.
Yep,
tied when they came over to Moeller on September 12th. So you know it's going to be a great match. It's on grass. What does grass do for you? Does that slow things down, or does it do anything with footing? I know what it does in lacrosse, going from field turf to grass. What does it do for soccer?
It's like probably the worst thing that could happen to our team. So our next three games, we play grass. You don't play grass in the tournament. Candidly, I don't know why we play grass anywhere. So if you play on a grass field, it slows down the ball. We're used to turf where obviously the ball...
Sure, it's true.
It's true. It's fast. We like to play possession. So if you like to play possession, that means you keep the ball on the ground. You make crisp, firm passes. You know where the ball is going. It's nice. Last year, when we like to kick and chase, grass is fine. It doesn't matter. Like, you're just, yes, your body's a little slower on grass than on turf, but when the ball's in the air, it doesn't matter if it's on grass or on turf. This year, we have a tough challenge, our next three games, of can we battle, are we technical enough that if the ball's on the ground, mm-hmm. can we still make crisp passes? Can we read and react properly? Will Cal read the ball correctly off the grass? It just leaves more room for error. I think that it's not supposed to rain today or tomorrow.
No.
So I hope, I hope that the grass is nice.
No potential rain till Thursday or Friday. 60% chance right now.
Okay. So then on Saturday we play Fairfield on the grass.
So they must have a separate soccer field at Fairfield?
Yeah. And I mean, I would do the same thing. If I had a grass field and a turf field, and I would put Moeller on the grass too. So I mean, it makes sense with how we want to play. So and I love Danny Landrum. I mean, that's the Fairfield coach. But LaSalle, last time we played, they took it to us. That was the game that afterwards, like, we should have lost. I felt that we should have lost that game versus LaSalle. It was our eighth game, part of that grueling start. We were tired. We weren't playing well, and they took it to us. Like, they were 1,000% the better team that night. They had more opportunities.
Yeah, because you said during the podcast they deserved to win.
Yeah, they did. And, they were well coached. We didn't play well, but that was because they played great. Yep. And they took it to us, and they were more athletic. They were more hungry.
So you're expecting the same thing Tuesday.
Yeah, well, and they have 16 seniors, okay? Whew. So I don't know how that's possible, but they have 16 seniors. They returned 5 starters from their last year, the GCL champion. So we're going in tomorrow night on their senior day versus 16 seniors. They know they can prevent us from winning the GCL. They were the GCL champions last year. We lost, actually, the GCL to them mm-hmm. on their field last year. So there is some, there's some poetry in effect here of, their seniors are going to want to beat us, which rightfully so.
Right.
That field is where the GCL championship was won the year prior. In our faces, and they're one of two teams that have tied us in the city. So it's going to be a battle, and our guys are not used to grass, and it's how are we going to make sure that we're ready for tomorrow night?
So let me ask you this: do you go down below and practice today at All Saints?
Yeah,
and
we're
practice
actually
in the grass.
Yeah, I spoke with Coach Rodenberg. We're going to be on the grass at All Saints for the next until next Wednesday.
Yep.
Until next Monday, and then we have our game on Tuesday. So we'll be on the grass for the next, Monday, Wednesday,
Smart.
Thursday, Friday, Tuesday, or Monday.
Yeah, sounds great.
But what stinks about that is that's not nice. Like, it's not nice down there. So are we going to roll an ankle? And I sound like I'm soft, but, it's not ideal conditions for a soccer team mm-hmm. that's based on passing the ball on the ground.
I have an idea for you. I'll share once we get off the air.
All right.
So if you can't make it to Colping Park on Tuesday at 7 p.m., we will be broadcasting on letsgobigmo.com. You can get the links for a live stream from letsgobigmo.com. Greg Waddell, Danny Welling, and the Hoff, Matt Hoffman, will be delivering all the live action from Colping. So, and we'll also have the archive. And thank you to David Rodrigo and his company for sponsoring numerous broadcasts this year. So then... I know we got to go one at a time, but we're doing one show a week, so we got to talk about Saturday's match. Travel to the Fairfield Indians, and they're mm-hmm. always tough.
Yeah, so they just had their first loss over the weekend to Turpin 4-1, which was like eye-opening. and Turpin's really good, so it's not a knock on Turpin. Just Fairfield hasn't lost. So I don't know. I don't know what happened there or how it happened. From all accounts, it just sounds like Turpin played really well. Danny Landrum, you know, he is an awesome coach. Their teams are super physical. They're super athletic. They're super defensive-minded teams. He's of the Randy Hurley tree. So, you know, they're all – this is going to be one of those how good how willing are we to be able to get touched? And if it's a 50-50 ball, are we willing to go into it and win it? Which we need to be. So, you know, Fairfield is going to give us a different look than we've seen since, well, I guess LaSalle or Elder. You know, that's that style of play.
Right.
So we just got to be – we have to stay true to who we are. We have to hope that our possession works on grass. We have to continue to move quickly off the ball, you know, follow shots, win the 50-50 balls, and just be ready because it's going to be a very, very, very physical you know, game. Really, our next three games are going to be super physical, so that's not ideal going into the tournament, but we'll be ready. I mean, we just have to continue to keep our mindset of we're preparing for mid-October, you know, one game at a time, continue to learn one thing from every team that we play, use that for our advantage going into the tournament.
Well, that sounds great. So we've got two this week, LaSalle on Tuesday, Fairfield on Saturday. We will get back together on Saturday or on Monday to talk about these two and hopefully discuss a GCL championship. But before we wrap, how about an update on the boys? The
boys are great. We took them to the park yesterday, took them swinging. It was fun. I got a really good picture. I put it on our social. Just really, really repping the new shield and the branding well, I feel like.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. But what did the boys think of swinging? That's more important.
They had fun. Mason liked it. Levi, you know, they were both giggling. It's fun.
What was mom doing?
She was taking pics.
Nice.
Yeah.
So she was the photographer of that great photo.
Yeah.
So she gets the credit.
Yeah. The one thing we didn't talk about, if you want to talk about it quickly, the draw is Sunday too.
Yes, it is. You guys will pick your draw for the state tournament, so that eliminates the Elder game the following Tuesday to be, affecting your seed and where you go. So that'll be Sunday, and then with you being the number one seed, most likely, I know you're number four in the state of Ohio. We're doing this a little bit earlier than we normally do, so we don't know what the city poll is going to be. Will you go first since you're the number one seed, or will you go last because you're the number one seed?
Well, I don't think we've locked up anything. I would like to think we'll be a top five, but if you're the number one seed, you put yourself on a bracket first, and okay, then the number two, and then the number three, then the number four, and so on. It gets really tense because it's unlike anything that, you know, most people are used to.
Right.
In theory, if you're the number one seed, you put yourself on the bracket. In theory, the number two team could literally play you in the first game.
Correct.
If they wanted.
I remember sitting in those baseball meetings with Mike Cameron and Tim Held when we'd go to those selections over at Princeton.
Yeah.
It's an interesting event.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, I have egg on my face from last year. I didn't really get any advice. So I kind of went into this and, you know, I didn't know better. You can pass.
Okay.
So you can pass. So it's now a joke like in the soccer community. I passed like 15 times. And then we lost the first game. So it was, you know, that was
Milford.
Yeah, that was humbling. And, you know, that was, you know, I've definitely heard it from coaches and, you know, refs and, you know, everyone else. But I still stand by, if you pass, you can pass. You can pass and keep passing until you want to put yourself on the
bracket.
When
it's your turn, you can pass or you can select.
Correct. So, like, last year we were the number 10 seed. So it was, like, number 10, Moeller, and I said pass. And then it was like number 11 team put them up and they're like Moeller. And I passed. And I passed like literally like 10, 12 straight times. And it was awkward. You know, people in the room are looking at me. And, you know, again, I didn't know any better. Like, no one told me like the unwritten rules of everything. And
sure.
No one stopped me halfway through. You know, it's like baseball where there's all these unwritten rules.
Right.
I didn't know I violated all these unwritten rules inside of the you know, the coaches meeting. I feel bad about it. I was embarrassed. You know, obviously I didn't know until afterwards when guys came up to me and they were like, "Hey, did you know you just did this?" I was like, "Oh, I didn't
really." Didn't know that. But now you'll go into the meeting on Sunday as a seasoned veteran.
Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, I mean, look, I think our guys have worked really hard. I think we have a very good resume. I think that, you know, we have done the things. You know,
you've earned your standing. There is right. No doubt with the schedule you've played, the results that you've performed at. When you walk into that room, they may say, "Hey, pass is here," but you know, just to have fun with it. But you've earned your status this year,
yeah,
no doubt.
I said, you know, our strength of schedule, you know, the top 10 wins that we've had, you know, beating Anderson head to head, and really just the consistency from the start of the season to the end. You know, we didn't have like a crescendo or anything.
Sure.
You know, it's been, you know, high from the jump. You know, I do feel we deserve a one or a two seed. I love, you know, the Anderson coach, you know, Adam Jones. He's my buddy, so it is kind of awkward that we're probably battling out for one or two. But you know, we still got to play tomorrow. So you know, if we lose tomorrow, we fall apart.
Let's get through tomorrow and Saturday, and then we can talk about the selection on Sunday on our Monday podcast.
Right?
How's that, Coach? Best of luck this week. Hope you get two W's, and we'll talk next Monday.
Awesome. Thanks.
Well, it started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone, and the sun went down as it crossed the hill, and the town lit up. World got still. I'm ready to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. Now the good old days may not return.